Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are recording.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? You all right?
Yeah, good.
You had a busy day?
This is a very nice way to end the day because it's Tuesday and we're recording the podcast on a Tuesday like we normally do. But I haven't seen you all day.
No.
I saw you this morning. But
we're ending the day by starting a podcast.
And what is nice is we haven't really talked that much since I got in. So this is like the hello.
This is catch up.
This is catch up.
A daily debrief.
If you can hear anything in the background, that is us being domestic
goddesses
and drying. God. Shall I shut the door?
Yeah, shut the utility door. That's not a euphemism, by the way. I saw you this morning at about 10 o'clock and then you dashed out. So why don't you tell everybody where you've been?
Because well,
it's a little plug for your show.
Ricky Marino, who I do Language of Love with Channel 4.
That's not his real name.
It is his real name.
Ricky Marino. Are you sure? He sounds like a character from El Dorado.
He is. Him and Pablo, his boyfriend, are like two of my favourite people.
Yeah.
And I only worked with him for 2 weeks, but oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good to see him again. And it was like yesterday. And we definitely have to go out clubbing when we can go out clubbing.
Oh yeah, great.
And
I'd love to do that.
We're going to Madrid Gay Pride.
Okay.
Apparently it's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, like amazing. And we're also going to go out for non-gay Pride Madrid as well.
Okay, yes, I'll do. Let's
do all the Madrids.
Pride Madrid. And
Madrid's a fantastic city.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I'm going to recommend. Because Madrid, I would imagine, because it's not by the coast, perhaps it's kind of not necessarily, unless you were purely going for culture, a town you would visit if you were kind of going on a beach holiday. But if you want to go away for a four-day culture holiday, Madrid is beautiful. There's an amazing nightlife, really fantastic restaurants, beautiful old town. It's extraordinary. And of course, if you don't speak Spanish, it could be quite interesting, but Spain's West End, Broadway, sort of the equivalent of Broadway, is in Madrid.
Ah, okay. And he is on.
He is on
Madrid's Broadway.
Yes, he is.
In Ghost.
Yeah,
he plays the Patrick Swayze character who's dead, if I remember.
Yeah, and does sexy things with women. Demi.
On a pottery wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it well. Demi Moore's hair in Ghost was the most asked for hairstyle in 1991 or whatever it was. God almighty, everyone came in to get their hair cut.
And then closely followed by Rachel.
Yeah, there was Meg Ryan in the middle in a film called French Kiss. She had this little crop and everybody went crazy for Meg Ryan's hair.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It was a really big deal, yeah. And then along came Rachel. But I would say the most two asked for hairstyles in my career in the 90s would have been Anthea Turner and Meg Ryan.
Anthea Turner, iconic.
Yeah, and then towards the end of that, it probably all went to the Rachel. What's interesting about that is that Nicky Clarke used to do Anthea Turner's hair, and I always used to think, how's Nicky Clarke got so famous as a hairdresser? Because I wanted to try and work out what the formula was. And the thing that I pieced together was that he had one of the sayings that we used to hear all the time by my boss, who I worked for, Gary Spencer, used to say, your client is a walking advert for you, you know, so make sure they look as good as they can all the time, even when you haven't done their hair. Mm. So you should teach them to do their own hair really well, because everyone will say, where'd you get your hair done? Like, they're an advert for you the whole time. What Anthea Turner was the biggest female TV star of the 90s, really. And she advertised Nicky's work every day on TV.
Every day.
So what I thought is, I need to get myself a client who's going to be on TV a lot. And that
would
be... And it ended up being you.
but I didn't make you like Nicky Clarke.
You made me better than Nicky Clarke.
I made you better than Nicky Clarke.
Yeah. Sorry, this is 2 weeks on the trot we've mentioned Nicky Clarke.
Do you know, can I just say, his brother messaged us and said he's actually has got a cafe.
In his salon.
And a little scene going on in his salon. We're invited.
Okay, he has a chef as well in there, full-time chef.
We're going.
Yeah, great. Let's go to
and we can
Michael
go and
Bancroft
people watch.
Salon. Yeah. So, yes, Ricky Marino is in Ghost. That must be running for quite a while.
Yeah,
so
he's still in it.
Yeah.
And he's over here to do some promotion for the show, and we're having dinner with him tonight. So I'm going to have had two meals with him today.
Blimey. And you barely have two meals a week. This is incredible. You're going to be enormous by tomorrow. I'm going to watch carefully what you eat tonight and see what it is. If you just go for some lettuce.
An avocado.
Yeah, you'll go for that butterhead lettuce with avocado.
Yeah, that's it.
And then we're going to watch the actual show, Languages
Together,
of Love, tonight.
Going out, yeah.
Quite surreal for me, that, because obviously I was there watching it get made, and then I'll be here tonight
with everyone.
With you two, watching it with you. It'd be quite
it's
interesting
Gogglebox,
for me.
Basically.
Yes. I'd love to do Gogglebox with you at some point.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. I love Gogglebox. It's a great...
And we love watching telly.
It's a great show. I love watching telly. There's not a lot of good stuff. That was going to start this podcast, really, with this thing, is that I've watched quite a few movies and quite a few TV shows. Now,
and
as
I've
we
watched
know,
two.
As we know, this podcast is not a review podcast. We don't review stuff. We recommend stuff.
Yeah.
And if I watch something that I don't particularly like...
We don't talk about it.
I wouldn't necessarily talk about it or recommend it.
Well, we would never talk about it. Because if we don't like it...
But I've come up against a problem, is that everything I've watched I've not particularly liked.
I've only seen one thing that's blown my mind this week.
Okay, well, let's start with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it is a movie. Mm-hmm. It came out in August last year. It is mind-blowing. Now, there's a thing that happens to me that when I get recommended something a lot, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, me too. It's like, oh no, it's too popular.
So sometimes I have to kind of just step away from it for a moment. I would imagine quite a few people felt like that about Don't Look Up.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, everybody's telling me to watch it. I'm not going to watch it. But I did watch it today. And I was in the back of a car. And the driver had to ask me if I was okay.
Because you were crying so hard.
I was snivelling and sobbing loudly. It's got an 8.1 on IMDb. It's called Coda.
Now, what I do know about this is lots of our listeners
they did.
Have sent us messages to watch this and said it's brilliant. So first of all, thank you to everybody who sent messages to watch it. It has been in my on the back burner of my list for quite a long time. And when you said you were watching it the other night, I was a bit like, oh, thanks very much. Yeah, you watch that then. Girl, I'll watch something else.
Tell me if you
feel like that. I've only kidded. I was glad you were watching it because it's nice that you've got things to talk about that I haven't seen. So
CODA stands for Child of Deaf Adults, and I'm sorry if most of our listeners have watched it, but if you haven't, you really must. Directed and written by Sian Hedder, and written by a few others as well, but she also wrote the screenplay. Emily Jones plays Ruby Rossi, who is the lead, and she is the hearing child of Marley Maitlin and Troy Kotzer. They're the family, and they are both profoundly deaf, and her brother is profoundly deaf as well, and they only sign, they don't lip read.
Okay.
So they need her, basically, when she was born, and she was born hearing, she was their interpreter. And they are fishermen as well, and so she's trying to combine fishing and going to school and learning, and her big passion is music, and it just kind of follows that story. Emilia Jones, this is real dedication, because her sign language, she makes it look so easy. Now, having worked on Long Lost Family, we worked with a deaf woman who speaks British Sign Language, which is completely different to American Sign Language, because they do a lot of abbreviations and a lot of acting out with their hands because it's impossible to sign every single word. So they would talk about something like when your tummy is sort of rumbling, they rub their hands together with their knuckles together by their tummy. They do a lot of gesticulation with their hands, but a lot of movement with their faces and their bodies. They use everything to sign. And she spent 9 months learning American Sign Language. And she is, I mean, I don't speak American Sign Language, so I don't know, but she just looks so fluid.
Yeah.
She had singing lessons for nine months, which I can't believe that she needed singing lessons, because her singing voice is so, she's got a naturally amazing singing voice. And then she learnt how to operate a fishing trawler. I mean, you know when I was saying that so many movies at the moment feel a bit amateur?
Yes.
This film, she, and in fact the whole family, everybody was cast brilliantly. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of them, and I didn't know anyone in the movie, but they were very, very good. And the quality of acting in there,
mm-hmm.
and the storyline, it was different, it was unique, and the ending literally made me weep. It's a story about family.
Okay, because I was going to say
about the love,
family thing, is,
about
yeah.
your passion in life,
mm.
but mainly about the love of a family,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, a family that loves you so much and is a very tight family because of their disadvantage in life.
Yeah,
but at the same time, they need you,
mm-hmm.
and you want to try and
go
break free, and it's really
yeah.
painful, you know. Mm. Oh my God, it's...
Yes, I mean, it comes with quite a responsibility, all of that, doesn't it? But it's potentially the journey of your life, like the adventure of your life, mm. is that thing.
Mm.
One, you want to run away from, but two, it gives you probably an enormous amount of meaning and purpose. I knew this couple quite well when I lived in Crouch End many, many moons ago, and they'd had I think they'd had a daughter, and then they'd had a son with Down syndrome. And then, you know, they were a bit unsure about what to do next, I guess, whether to just cap it at that or have a third child. And they made a very practical decision to have a third child so that the firstborn didn't carry the whole burden of the Down syndrome child if anything happened to the parents or as the parents got older, and so on and so forth. And I thought, God, it was really interesting that it's so rare you hear that people have a practical reason for having a child. Like 200 or 300 years ago, you had children because you need someone to take over the farm or take over the business or carry on working or look after
you. You had to have loads of children because the possibility of all of your children dying was quite high.
But you very rarely come across people having children for very practical reasons now, or things that would help, rather than you have them because you want them, because you want to have this experience of raising a family. But I thought it was an amazing thing to do, and it would be interesting to see, you know, what children feel like about that, whether they feel the burden of it or whether they feel it's a challenge that gives them great reward. Or
there's an amazing moment where the brother and the sister, the brother's older, have a fight, and you think it's going to be a fight about one thing, and it's actually a fight about something completely different, and it's like straight to the heart. It's interesting you talked about that, about having a child, because we did a long lost family, which was really insane, in Sicily. It was a long-lost family spin-off. It was about children that get wrongly swapped at birth.
Oh, God, that was an incredible story.
And the mothers realised when the daughters were 3 years old that they had each other's daughters, because they ended up at the same nursery by some fluke.
Wow.
And they somehow realised that they did have to swap them back.
Yeah.
But one of them, it was her only child.
Mm.
And for 3 years, she cherished this only child as her only child. The other one had two other daughters.
Oh, okay.
And this daughter was added to the melee. So not only was she going to receive a child that was her biological child, was used to two sisters, she'd have to send an only child into a crazy family of three.
Yeah. Oh, God. And I mean, the complexity of it.
It's mind-blowing.
It really is. And then the emotion.
She had another baby because the psychologist said, you need to have another baby for this only child, because it's had two sisters and it needs someone else. And she did. But she talks about it in such a brave and amazing.
When is this on? Because it just sounds...
Yeah, it's summer. It is really
remarkable.
Amazing. You will love it.
Yeah.
Because
it sounds like a documentary or a movie.
It is like a documentary.
Yeah.
Mm.
Remember that Three Identical Strangers one?
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, the reason why we started the search was because a woman came to us and said, I think I was brought up by the wrong woman.
Really?
And I did a genetic test, and she was not my genetic mother, but she thought she was.
And had she died at this point?
Yeah, I think
so. Okay, wow.
And she's asked if we can find her real family.
It's just unbelievably complex to unpick that stuff, especially if you're 50 years old or something at that point.
I mean, there's
one thing finding out you're adopted, but finding out that there's been a mix-up.
And also the sadness in knowing that your mother potentially grew up wondering if you were her biological child, but just thinking that digging any deeper is not worth it. This would be awful. But she thought her mother, who she thought was her birth mother, might know.
Yeah. Both my kids, I used to think, are you mine? You look so different to me. And then I go through photo albums of when I have my kid and I go, oh my God, you're definitely mine. But you know, you just think, oh, they don't really look like me.
Your kids look exactly like you. That's so funny.
But it's very
My middle daughter, you know. Thank God for photographs, because I can prove to my middle daughter that I gave birth to her, because... And there was no swapping because I gave birth at home.
Yes.
But she doesn't look anything like...
No, you're absolutely right. I know. Yeah, me. I know. She looks very different. Yeah.
Or Holly. Mm. It's very funny.
Yeah, it's very peculiar. Coda, then.
I'm going to watch that. I want to watch it again with you.
Okay, great. Because I am suffering slightly with the January blues. Mm. And I could do with something that would really...
You have struggled, haven't you?
Yeah, I always tend to, I think. January is a bit crap and... I think the lack of sunlight, I mean, when it was sunny the last couple of days, it's been great.
Nice. Mm.
It's just like, oh, it's like someone pouring some fresh cold water over you or something. Mm. It's just so nice.
Well, how are you in February?
I can't remember, really. But I think
I'm bad in February, so if you feel better in February...
I'll perk you up in February, if you perk me up in January. But what might be helpful is a good film to have a good cry
at. A cry, and this will be it. And not forgetting that Monday night was the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And Beau... struggled immensely.
Yes, she did, didn't she?
She did.
So I went to the cinema recently to see a film that my son wanted me to see. Now, this is one that I would semi-recommend.
Yes.
But there are some interesting things about it. So first of all, it's called Licorice Pizza. It's a big release that's around at the moment and probably on every kind of mainstream cinema. It's a film by Paul Thomas Anderson, who did things like Magnolia, which everybody loved. I remember it's got Tom Cruise in it and a whole bunch of brilliant actors and a fantastic story. He always makes very long films.
The line, respect the cock?
Yes, that Tom Cruise did. He was like a sex...
So funny. No, he's like a male... Feminist. But he for men. Like it was trying to give confidence back to men.
Okay. I hadn't seen it for a long time, but I do want to watch it again.
And I'd love to watch Magnolia again.
He also did There Will Be Blood, which... is a film I really rate. I remember Mark Kermode used to say, if you're going to go to the cinema to watch There Will Be Blood, you buy five seats. The one you sit in, the one in front of you, the one behind you, the one left and the one right. And then you watch the film. Because you do not want anybody sat near you when you watch it. Because it's so intense that any distraction or someone eating popcorn next to you... It's about... I guess it's about capitalism and the birth of oil mining in America. It's Daniel Day-Lewis, and he starts off digging for gold, and then he realises you can get oil out of the ground, and then he finds a technique for digging oil, and then he starts to go and buy land in strategic places. But it's not just him, there's lots of other people kind of doing it. But he stumbles across a plot of land that a boy sells him, but the boy wants him to build a church, and the boy wants to indoctrinate him into this church. So he plays the game of kind of pretending he's slightly religious in one thing or another, and then eventually just gets fed up with the boy and then starts to rebel. And there's an odd relationship between these two, a young preacher and then Daniel Day-Lewis's character called Daniel Plainview. And he's been left with a baby because one of his co-workers died down the mine and left the baby. So he's pretending the baby's his own son and using the baby's cute face in a way to kind of bargain for land and say, me and my... son, we lost my wife and mother, but you know, we're oil men and we're going to help this town thrive and all that. So he's very manipulative about it, but the preacher is evil, like spooky, horrible, manipulative.
Oh, really? I thought you were
deeply
gonna,
passive
like...
aggressive. And then obviously the character that is played by Daniel Day-Lewis is also extremely evil, sinister and manipulative, and the two of them just... It's a very long, weird film with really peculiar music, but it's stunning. And the final scene...
Oh my God, I want to see that as well.
The final scene is brilliant. It's just brilliant.
How long is it?
It's a biggie. It's like 2 hours 20, 2 hours 30. Let me have a quick look what it rates at, because Mark Kermode always said it was one of the best films he'd ever seen, really. What did I say it was called? There Will Be Blood. There will. There you go. 2007. God, it's an old one. So 8.2 on IMDb.
Who's the boy played by? Oh, it's Paul...
Paul Dano, yes. Who was also in Prisoners.
Oh, he's so good.
Mm. And there's the little boy there. So it doesn't say how long it is anywhere here. I can't see. But it's long. It's a lengthy film. You could easily break it down into two sections, I think. But God almighty, it's good. There's no speaking for like the first 15 minutes. It's just him digging. And then a couple of accidents happen and things like that. But you find yourself thinking, nobody's said anything yet. And it's such a brave way to start a big, big movie, you know. So anyway, just going back to this film, Licorice Pizza, because he's gone on to do this. So I was like... let's watch this film because it's a Paul Thomas Anderson film.
It's bound to be good.
And there's some great piece in it. So there's this guy in it called Cooper Hoffman. Guess who he is?
Who?
Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
No.
Yes. Who was a huge collaborator.
He looks
with...
exactly
yes.
like him.
So I only found this out after the film, but I kept watching the film with the kid. I really recognise this kid, but I've never seen him in anything before. The trailer's fantastic. You'll watch it and go, crikey, that's absolutely brilliant. And there's a little cameo from Bradley Cooper in here as well, who plays John Peters. Now, you might not know who John Peters is, but John Peters was Barbara Streisand's hairdresser, who went on to be the president of Sony Pictures and made huge movies.
What do you mean you could be the president?
Well, I've got to say, John Peters has always slightly inspired me, because it means you could be anything. Like, here's a guy who was curling Barbara Streisand's hair 1 minute and then running... an enormous movie studio the next.
Do you know, I honestly, hand on heart, think you could do that.
Well,
easily.
He produced the original Star is Born film with Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. But anyway, he's a brilliant character, and Bradley Cooper plays him, who's a total shagger, like classic hairdresser, right? And he drives a Ferrari and he wears all these white clothes and everything. So there's some really interesting kind of funny cameos in it, but it's a film that doesn't hang together very well. I mean... it gets 8 on IMDb. It's about an hour and 20 minutes long. As John
Peters, it's won awards.
It's won loads of awards, and it'll go on to do very well, I think, at the Oscars. Interestingly, this girl who stars in it, which is called Alana Haim. Have you ever heard of a band called Haim?
Yeah.
So she is the ringleader of the band Haim, and her sisters, who are also in this film, are also in the band Haim.
Yeah.
And her dad plays her real dad in this film as well. He's called Mordecai Haim. So it's some really interesting facts and things in it. It's based and set in 1973.
Tom Waits.
Yeah, Tom Waits is in it. Sean Penn's in it.
Oh,
I mean, there's
God,
loads
the
of
cast
great cameos
is amazing.
In it. But, you know, on the whole, I found it a bit disappointing. I'm going to lower people's expectations when they go and see it. One thing is the sets are brilliant. The cars are brilliant. Everything about the era is brilliant. I thought it was set in about 1969. It doesn't feel like 1973 at all, but... it is. There's lots of shots of Nixon. There's the huge fuel crisis in America that plays a big part in the film as well. So there's some nice, lovely bits of history in it. But don't go expecting a coherent story or something really with a beginning, middle and end. Loads of bits of it just peter out. Loads of it don't mean anything. I really struggle to get my teeth into it. But on the whole, there's some brilliant acting in it. And if you fancy just a night out, go for a pizza and then watch...
pizza.
Licorice pizza. Yeah. So give it a whirl. But watch the trailer first and maybe read some reviews and see what you think, because it's definitely not everyone's cup of tea.
I'm just going to very quickly mention an Instagram account that I accidentally came across the other day, because somebody had said something about Gillian Rowe, or somebody had tagged at Gillian Rowe, and I was like, oh, who's she? So it's at Gillian with a G. G-I-L-L-I-A-N underscore Rowe underscore.
Okay.
She's a teacher, but she's into home, nature, food, craft and books. And she's from Hampshire, and she does a blog called Tales from a Happy House. And you know that thing? I think that a grid on Instagram is really important. If you're going to sell something, your grid has to look beautiful. There was something about our making the cut grid when we did our advent calendar.
Oh, yes.
It was very jarring, because I was like, oh, no, hang on a minute. It's only pictures. Look at this grid from Gillian Rowe. It's just really satisfying. She'll take a picture of a beach or a church or a street along with food. But everything, sea, beach, a bowl of cereal, it just, a bedside table, it just looks so appealing. But this was the thing.
What is that?
That it's really, really loved. So, she has done, and it made me think of Sarah.
Yes.
You know my bestie.
I do.
And she loves her...
what's it called? Needlepoint or...
Tapestry.
Yes, okay.
So, this woman, Gillian Rowe, on the 1st of January, she posted a picture because December's stitch a day is finished with 365 stitches, 365 tiny drawings with needle and thread that represent our 2021. She's worked on the project. she did a stitch a day, but if you look at it, it's basically like a wheel. And it's split into 12 segments.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say it's 12.
And each segment has got what happened that month. And she slotted in a little piece of that month. And obviously, it was very interesting. There's a bit about the NHS in there, or there's bits about summer. And the colour of each season pertains to, so this is summer, this is going into autumn, and this is winter, and this is Christmas, and this is January. So it's... it's so beautiful.
Can you buy it?
No, and I was thinking... No, well, I don't think so. No, and I would buy that.
Yeah, me too. I was just thinking exactly that. It looks great.
Beautiful thing. Mm. So even if you do nothing else with Gillian Rowe...
Mm-hmm. I'm just skimming through. Yeah, it's so nicely done.
NHS. Mm. Like plants, jigsaw.
Yeah.
A scarf, a snowflake, an aubergine.
An aubergine. I wonder what that means.
Gillian was up to there. Yeah. It's a thing of absolute beauty. There's something about tiny stitches. Mm. In fact, I would say I am a very simple person. I love tiny things, like tiny stitches,
me
tiny
too.
Figurines, tiny dogs, mini anything. Yeah. I also love anything sparkly.
Yeah.
I'm a magpie. So anything with shiny, sparkly, anything I love. But this really appeals to me. She made me very
inspired
happy.
Inspired me to maybe
do a bit of tapestry.
Well, not tapestry, but you know, I like my Procreate app on my thingy. I could do a little doodle every day that represented something, and maybe do a grid or something like that. I mean, I'm a few days behind actually, because the 18th of January, I'll have to catch up and do 18 doodles quite quickly.
I think you could do that. It would all be crying faces. Dark
days.
Yes,
a bit miserable.
Misery. Greyness.
But I do... that has inspired me to maybe do a little something creative every day. Just like...
Why don't you do that?
I'm going to do that. I'm going to write it down.
Thanks,
Gillian Rowe. It's really good. And if you are selling that, let us know.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really bloody nice, isn't it? On the subject of that...
And wait, she does other crafty things on there. So she makes lots of food, she makes lots of decorations, she's got lots of home ideas, there's lots of inspo for your home and everything.
How many followers has she got? Just out of interest, really.
12,000.
How many likes has that got? That's got loads. That's got
16,000 likes.
You've got more likes than you've got followers.
Yeah, that's I think it spoke to people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. Well done, Gillian. It's really, really nice. So I was just having a quick look. I was just seeing what shout-outs we've got this week. So there's one called Mums That Rave.
Oh, my God.
I know. And
this
says,
is my kind of woman.
Yeah, right? It says, Happy New Year. I would like to recommend Mums That Rave. This is
recommending herself. Yes!
Well, the life-affirming, real-life rave panel and meet-up for mums by award-winning international DJ and producer DJ Nikki Beatnik for your podcast. And then there's a couple of things here, but maybe they've expired on the thing. So I'm just having a quick look at this. Oh, so she's setting it up for Mums That Rave. This is DJ Beatnik. And she says here's a snippet of our 10th Mums Rave Party at Xmas 2021. It's such an amazing event and a safe space for women. Thanks in advance, guys. That sounds good, doesn't it? So presumably Mums That Rave.
They've got 10,000 followers. I love that idea of being able to go and be free in a space, loads of women going nuts.
Yeah. Can dads rave there, or is it just a mum's only gig? Let us know. But it looks great.
It looks quite inclusive.
It does, but it's a great Instagram account, that Mums That Rave. The fact that you got that name is even brilliant better. In itself. Yeah. Good work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
As you know, I have been dabbling in the world of cryptocurrencies
and
all sorts of things, right? So, you know, I've made a few quid and I've lost a few quid and I've bumbled around. But the whole purpose of me doing that really was to try and learn about this whole world of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and Ethereum and stuff. Now, I don't know about you, but it strikes me as though the whole subject's getting bigger and bigger all the time.
Definitely. So, I hear about it every single day.
Let me get my phone. I'm just going to tell you something. It's quite significant that's happened today. You might find interesting, which is that Activision Blizzard, I don't know if you're familiar with Activision Blizzard, sorry. They're a huge games company, so Chester will have loads of Activision games. When you put in a game, it normally says Activision on it, and then the game starts, whatever it is. Has just been bought by Microsoft today for $68.7 billion.
No!
Yeah.
What?
So it's the largest takeover ever, and a big bet on the metaverse. Because all these games will essentially live in this metaverse world eventually. So I'm assuming Microsoft bought it because they are putting their foot into the metaverse. Now, the metaverse is something you need to go and learn about, really. And I guess I'm recommending people go and learn about...
Where do they go?
Okay, so I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
So first of all, I bought some cryptocurrency and I played around with that for a while, trying to work out what it's all about. But what it's all about ultimately is this new version of the internet that it's coming, which they're either calling Internet 3.0, or lots of people call it the metaverse, but it's roughly the same kind of thing. The Internet 3.0 will be like a visual internet that you can go and walk around and move around inside, if that makes sense. And within that Internet 3.0, there will be metaverses, which will be digital worlds that you can go into and interact in. A bit like this world, but it'll be a digital one. You can buy land there, you can buy houses there,
like,
you can buy... Yeah?
Putting on an Oculus.
Yeah, you could wear a headset to go into it, or you could just use your iPad and use the screen on your iPad and go around it that way. But yes, a headset or glasses will ultimately be the way that you interact with this world. It's not been built yet, really. It's just kind of... There's two meta worlds
on the cusp
that I know of that I've researched last night. One's called Sandbox and the other one's called Decentraland. What's interesting about these worlds is that they're not governed by anybody. They're not owned by a person like Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk. They're completely run by a decentralized thing called a blockchain. So what's interesting about them is that nobody can manipulate it or control it particularly. It's just done by the people themselves interacting with it. So whether it can become corrupted or not, I don't really know. But essentially, the only money you'll be able to spend in the metaverse will be cryptocurrencies, Ethereum, Bitcoin, and things like that. So it is worth getting involved in that, even if you just buy £10 of it or £20 of it and just see what happens with it. And then every week or something, just read a little article about Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. And then there's these things called NFTs, which are knocking around, which are called non-fungible tokens, which means that they can't be replicated. They're completely unique bits of code that normally at the moment are replicating a bit of art or represent a bit of art. So people are buying these. So essentially what they think will happen is you'll go to a meta world and someone will own a piece of land where they'll build an art gallery which will house their NFTs that you can pay to go and have a look at, in the same way that you go to a gallery and have a look at that art there. But they'll also build concert halls and stadiums and stuff like that, where you can go and watch Justin Bieber do a concert in this metaverse, and you'll see a digital representation of Justin Bieber, and he'll be singing live in his home somewhere, but you'll get to see it along with perhaps 10 billion other people. Mind you, there's only 7 billion people on the planet, but you know what I mean. So instead of selling 60,000 tickets for a gig, you could sell 1 billion tickets for a gig, and 1 billion people could go and watch it. Anyway, it's very interesting. So you might kind of go, well, where do I go and learn about this? So I found this guy on the YouTubes last night, who I thought was very good. So he's called Andre, and I have literally no idea how to pronounce that surname, but it's J-I-K-H.
Jitch.
So Andre Jitch. He's a young lad. He's in his 30s, and he's exploring this whole world, and he's done a lot of videos on it. So he did a really interesting one I watched last night called The Best Metaverse Investments Right Now. So people are buying digital land in the metaverse for millions of pounds, not like 20p or anything. And I thought, what? Like, how do you value a piece of digital land in a world, in a digital world? But he explains all this quite nicely in there, and also the relationship between NFTs, Bitcoin, and this, and the, these meta worlds. So that was, I found that really good. But I also found a really interesting video that he made last night called How to Invest for Teenagers. And it starts from when you're age 13, and it goes up to basically 19, 20. And he tells you the things that you should be doing at certain ages if you want to make the most out of, I guess, your kind of your young life. It's not just about making money, really. It's about setting yourself up in a reasonable way to know that you're going to earn money as you get a bit older. But anyway, my recommendation is this guy. I think you should, people should go and have a little listen to some of his videos. He's very easy to listen to. He's very articulate.
What's his name
and good.
Again?
He's called Andre Jitch, so it's J-I-K-H is his surname. He's got 1.89 million subscribers, which is a lot, and his videos get watched a lot, and he's been around for a good few years, so I don't think he's churning out, like, rubbish, you know, because otherwise you wouldn't survive, I don't think, as a YouTuber for that long. But he's got loads of really good stuff, and then he's also investing in things like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and it's worth looking at. The thing I would say is that I've met lots of various investors recently and people who are in this world.
Oh my God, everybody
and
is talking about
there
it.
There is not a single person, not a single person is saying, it'll never happen.
Daniel,
yeah.
on Own Your Goals,
yeah.
He's in all of that, NFTs, Bitcoin.
And then the other platform I'd tell people to go and have a look at is something called OpenSea.com.
Oh yeah.
And OpenSea is a platform that sells NFTs. Now, basically, you go and look at it, and it's just, it is literally an open sea of stuff. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I watched it, I looked at it last night for an hour. I searched all sorts of different things on there, and you can buy stuff for ludicrous prices. You know, there was this spinning glass ball, just a GIF that span £60,000.
Yeah.
You can own it.
Fuck.
Yeah. She said, fuck, then.
That's a lot.
You know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's all sorts of stuff going on there. So it is fascinating. But the advice I got from somebody who's in the business,
yes,
who's a billionaire, you know, who's
yes.
very wealthy, has said, learn about it. Go and learn about it. Go
we
on OpenSea.
Learn about it, right?
Go and buy some crypto, buy an NFT, whatever it is. Just go and understand it, because it is coming and it is going to happen and it will change the world. And I think, okay. So that's my recommendation. Go and do some learning and some reading. Watch some YouTube videos. This guy's very good, but there's loads of other people out there. Go and have a look at OpenSea. Go and search Decentraland and Sandbox. For instance, Snoop Dogg's just bought a house, I think, in Sandbox.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the value of the land around that house has gone through the roof, because
right.
everybody wants to live next door to Snoop Dogg, right?
Yes.
So everyone's, you know, I know it sounds ludicrous, but it's happening.
Yes.
And there's an enormous amount of money that's going to be earned.
There's another place for NFTs.
Oh, yeah.
Art.
Okay.
Makersplace.com.
Makersplace.com. Okay. I'd love to have a look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's been a really interesting little journey I went on last night. And I've been dabbling around with this for the last few years. Well, probably the last 18 months or so. But I'm starting to understand it. Go out there and have a little mooch and see what you think.
Blimey, that is like mind-blowing. It's
yeah,
isn't it? It's so
yeah,
I don't know, if you kind of think about it too much, it's yes. almost too much to handle.
And it also sounds a bit silly. I think that's what's funny about it, is you go, what? Don't be daft. But it's coming.
It's coming, and there's nothing we can stop it. It's a bit like when I interviewed Kylie,
mm-hmm.
and I said, oh, you've got one of these new things called a website.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And I was like, I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand what it is, but we've all learnt very quickly, haven't we?
Yes, well, I remember getting a computer for the very first time at work when I worked at Weller. They gave me a laptop. So I pressed on Internet Explorer, it was called. I don't know if that really exists yeah. anymore. And then I just put in, I wrote in Counting Crows into the bar at the top. Now, that wasn't a search bar at the time. It was an address bar. And nothing came up. It just said Counting Crows 2020. You know, I was like, what? And I had to go to someone and say, what's this? And he said, you need a search engine. And I was like, an engine?
Yes.
What? And he said, you need something like Yahoo or Ask Jeeves. I was like, ask who? What? Like what?
I don't understand. Like, yeah,
it didn't make any sense. No. And then this idea that it was an engine, like a search engine.
I had a
engine.
Website.
Yeah, I remember. Davina.tv.
Yeah.
I came to your launch party for it.
But we just didn't know what to do with it. We were ahead of our time, really.
Mm. So it was difficult to get your head around. And it's a bit like that. I think it's like, there's a lot to get your head around. There's new language to learn.
I want to talk about Swiftie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tony Parr sent us a gift. And he is a friend of yours. And he sent us a gift. And I got very excited when the gift came because I was like, oh, it's a scooter. Now, it's called SwiftieScooters.com. And Swiftie Scooters are, if you're a teenager or an adult, these are extremely desirable scooters. If you go to electric scooters, they are kind of like the ladies' bicycle with the basket on the front.
The Brompton, front. Yeah.
The Brompton, they are kind of, they look different to any other scooter. Yeah. Electric scooters they've got kind of just
normal
urban push-along scooters
okay.
that you can kind of, you know, do your usual tricks with and stuff. Go on.
As you know, I had an electric scooter.
Yes.
It fell apart, I broke it. Really.
Yes,
I tried to modify it and then one thing or another, so it's gone.
What do you mean? What did you, how did you
I
try
I tried to put different handlebars on it and all did the rest you? Of it. Like I was a kid, you know, when you get a BMX, you think I'll put different wheels on it, different tyres on it, I'll tart it up, put a different bit of grip tape on it. I broke the whole thing, basically. So I threw it away, but this summer I'm definitely going to reinvest in a
would
new...
Would you get
new,
something like this?
I would definitely get... I want something that folds that I can carry. So no heavier than about 15 kilos, really. Yeah, something like that. But with tyres, the other thing, just add rubber, solid things. I want.
Yeah, these are tyres. These are proper tyres.
This looks great.
And, you know, you've got adventure ones with kind of different treads. You've got kids ones, which look really, really cool. But actually, so when I opened it, because he came down, we opened it and he said, it's not a scooter. I was like, oh.
Disappointed.
And he's joking.
No,
Pip.
He is. Disappointing.
And what happened was he gave us, it's called a Swiftie balance ball, and there was a wall bracket and to kind of store it on. And he didn't know, I don't think, that I'd hurt my ankle, but actually it is extremely good for any kind of physio. But at the same time as being absolutely bloody terrifying.
Yes.
I mean, the idea of going on it without Pip there to hold on to me, I don't know. But actually, I think if I practiced it enough, I've taken it up to the gym.
Yeah.
And I think if I get on it enough and practice it enough, I will get better. And it will really help me when we go wakeboarding because it's got that same thing. So basically...
It's wake surfing.
Wake surfing, sorry.
That's all right.
Because wakeboarding is on the board.
Well, it's when you hold on to
it, you're attached.
Wake surfing the wake. It's only because Pip picks me up on it all the time.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, I should probably...
No,
on
I appreciate
his behalf,
that.
Yeah.
So basically a balance board is a board that looks the same shape. It looks like a surfboard, but it is probably
It's like
2 feet.
A skateboard, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, about the length of a skateboard.
Yeah.
And there is a very, very hard cork about the size of a muscle roller.
Yeah, one of those T-band rollers.
Well, like a T-band roller.
IT-band?
IT-band, yeah. But for like your muscles.
Yes.
But it's smooth, and you put the skateboard sort of surfboard shape on top of the rolly thing, and it rolls backwards and forwards, and you have to balance.
It's like a circus trick, essentially,
it's
isn't
like
it?
It's like a circus trick.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but it is so good for your core.
It's very good for your core,
for your ankles.
Yeah.
For your legs.
And there must be some kind of eye to foot coordination thing going
on as
well.
That is why it's very good for rehab.
Mm.
Because when you've had an injury, you have to remind your body on how to coordinate the different parts of your body. When you haven't done anything on it for 12 weeks, you need to reteach your body and your brain how to signal to your ankle. And that's exactly why it's so good, hand-eye coordination. It's absolutely brilliant.
And this is on swiftyscooters.com. Yep. You can go and see them. They're quite expensive. I was quite amazed that you bought us this as a gift because I think, wow, Pip, you must like us.
Oh my God, they are. I didn't even look at that.
So about £160, £148, £168, depending on which one you get. It was surprisingly good fun, though, wasn't it? Because we were all on
Everybody got on it for quite a while,
like, all the time, like more than
Joel, your son, is frustratingly brilliant at everything.
Well,
he does
a skateboarder, so he's already got the patter
and Sonny got it down
kind of
like really
quickly.
Yeah,
he did, didn't he? Yeah, and I did as well. Youth. I don't have to go on about that, but it was a great gift. I was delighted that he got us that.
So yeah, SwiftyScooters.com.
I'm excited about a new electric scooter now. We were in a shop the other day. I can't remember what shop it was, but it was a fancy gift shop in Tunbridge Wells.
Yes.
And I remember thinking...
With the gluggy jugs.
The glug jugs, yeah. Mm. And then it had in there a bin, like a pedal bin, right?
It was so good.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, look at that, an actual nice bin. Kitchen bins are revolting.
Ugly.
They're really ugly looking. They always look like... You're supposed to put rubbish in them. They're nothing. There's nothing nice about them. They're not designed particularly well. Like, somebody needs to get hold of the whole bin industry and like bin it and then create something nice. Anyway, for once, there was this really nice bin. So it was on four little legs. It was off the ground. So it looked like a little console table or something like that. But then you pop the top and it had two sections of bin, like a recycling bin and a rubbish bin. And it was from that company.
Brabantia.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That's
Barbarita.
Barbarita.
Because that's called Brabantia.
That's the same, though, is that?
No, that's Barbarita. It must be a Barbarita bin from Brabantia.
Oh, do you think? God, that's confusing. So that's the this is the official website.
Yeah, that's Brabantia.
Is that how you say it?
Look.
Brabantia.
Brabantia. Brabantia.
I've always called it Brabrita. I think I'm dyslexic. I've always thought, you remember those Brabrita bins? Elves, yeah. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. But they've done a really good job. But these ones
my God,
on the.
Look at them. These look ones at all on, the different ones.
On
they're
the little
so
legs,
good.
They've absolutely pulled it out the bag, I think. So if
but
you're looking
I also
for a new kitchen bin.
What's so clever about them is that they're thin.
Yes.
So when you put them up against the end of a unit, they don't stick out too much in the kitchen.
And they kind of look like they belong there.
Yeah.
Whereas the problem with a lot of bins is that they just stick out like a sore thumb.
Mm.
And you're never really inclined to wipe them down or clean them. They're just something horrible about them. But these ones, they look like a bit of furniture. I mean, it's nice little things.
Oh, look at the design.
It's so
nice.
So I almost asked if they were for sale, and it wasn't. It was a bin for the reception at the shop. But I thought, well, I'll buy that. And she was like, no, you won't. I was like, oh, you don't sell them, you should. So as a little recommendation for that, if anyone's looking for a new kitchen bin, they're quite expensive. But if it's on display
what
in your
we
home...
like, we've changed.
Yeah, I know.
That's two things we've recommended that are expensive. We've got to watch our pricing.
Yeah. But go and have a little look on their website. There's loads of nice little things in there, especially if you're in the...
The Brabantia Bow Touch Bin High.
High, yeah. So it's on the little stools. It's £212. But like I say, if it's on display all the time in your home, then I think it's potentially worth investing in something like that. The other one is, I think they do called Simple Human. They do nice bins as well and nice bin bags. They're worth a look. They have one of those soft closing lids. So it opens really slowly and closes nice and slowly.
Can I just say something annoying if you just want to chuck something in the bin?
It is. I mean, it's not that slow. It's not like a minute, you know. Okay. But it's not like clank, clank, you know, like some of them are like Dusty Bin. Remember Dusty Bin?
I do.
My dad worked at Yorkshire TV when they used to record Dusty Bin, and he used to go down there and watch it getting recorded. And I used to be able to remote control Dusty Bin around the studio.
God, did you love that?
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. Remember that?
Oh my God, that was really good, Michael.
If you do it the wrong way around,
the hand action,
then you ended up doing that.
Oh my God.
That was what Ted Rogers used to do. Remember Ted Rogers?
Yes, of course.
You probably stole his career, you know. He was once a Saturday night hotshot TV host, and then bang, you came along, and he probably turned to the drink.
Oh no, God, I won't be able to sleep tonight.
I'm only kidding. Okay, one last thing before we go, which you and I both have fallen in love with. Where is it? Okay. So where did we hear about this?
We heard about it from, I started with Andy Abraham.
Andy Abraham sent us it on WhatsApp.
And then Caitlin Moran said, Wordle will be the death of me. Like, it's the, you know, it's driving me absolutely mad. And I thought, isn't that funny that I heard about it from Andy and now everybody's talking about it on Twitter. But what I think is so funny is that it's online.
Yes, it's not.
It's not an app.
So you go to a website called powerlanguage.co.uk. It says, hi, I'm Josh. I enjoy building unique products that focus on human interaction. Things about me. I'm an artist, production manager and engineer. I live in Brooklyn. I'm on the internet often. You may have heard of two projects that I've created, The Button and The Place. Wordle is on there as well. And it's a daily word guessing game that he made. So powerlanguage.co.uk/Wordle. And Wordle gives you six chances to work out what a word is. It's one word a day, and once you've completed the word, you don't get another one. You have to wait 24 hours to get another one. Now, you need to go and play this, basically. It's extremely good, but you have to decipher what the word is, and you get six goes to do it, and it gives you a set of rules. It is a brilliant and simple idea that is fantastic. I couldn't recommend it enough. powerlanguage.co.uk/wordle. I know lots of you probably know it already, so forgive us if we're telling you stuff you already know. But so what we currently know is Davina's doing it in front of me, that it starts with the letter P, and then there is an O in there, but the O is currently in the wrong place, and then we've got three other letters we need to decipher, and we've only got four more goes to do it, otherwise the whole thing gets reset. You can't play this while we're doing this.
Okay, sorry, podcast. You've lost
me. We'll wait.
You've lost me.
I realise
you can't start me. You can't open Wordle.
Yeah.
While we're still on the podcast, it's bad. Have we got any shout-outs?
Yes, that's exactly what we should do.
Got rid of the Wordle.
What?
You got rid of my Wordle.
Did I? No.
It's still there. But okay, I'm like, there you go. Okay, I want to guess. Yeah.
Okay. No. We'll play it as soon as we've gone off air.
Okay.
We'll nail it. Okay, where are we here then? Oh my God, there's quite a few here. So let's look at Cindy. 6 minutes ago, Cindy said, thanks for a great podcast. I've listened to it every week and I've enjoyed many of your recommendations. What?
Caliphate.
There is a Swedish, I think, drama serial on Netflix called Caliphate, which I'm sure you will enjoy. It's excellent. Oh, because there's a podcast that I've been listening to called Caliphate. So I wonder if that links into that at all. Thanks very much indeed, Cindy. So that's Caliphate,
Cindy,
and it's on Netflix.
I love a Nordic noir series. So I am going to watch that. Thank you very much.
Aileen Palmer. I feel like I know Aileen, but maybe I don't. Dumfries and Galway based.
Celebrant.
No, I don't. Okay. Hi, Davina and Michael. Love today's episode. And with Michael's propensity to cry when hearing certain music, I felt compelled to sell you this beautiful piece by Max Richter. Davina put me on to Max Richter a while ago, and it is brilliant music. Yeah. It's called
On
the Nature of Daylight. I've just discovered him through reading an article about
Clemency Burton Hill, who's a friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's the girl that I did the workout for.
You suffered
a brain hemorrhage
and a massive stroke. She underwent emergency surgery and spent 17 days in a coma. When she regained consciousness, it was to a radically different reality. She had to relearn how to talk and walk and write. And she credits the music of Max Richter for helping her through. This song in particular is so moving. Michael, you are obviously an empath who feels deeply. Be proud of that.
Aww.
Oh, don't want to cry.
That's so nice.
I definitely will have a listen to that. I mean, I've got a couple of playlists of his that are just so nice to put on. It's really amazing.
If you listen to Max Richter Essentials as well, Apple
have got
a Max Richter Essentials, which is really nice.
And it's just amazing that sound can do that to you. Mm. You don't necessarily need any words. Mm. It's just the collection of those sounds put together in that order at that timing.
Mm. And he does lots of soundtracks and things as well.
Thanks very much, Aileen. That's
oh, you
really
know, I did her podcast, thing. Clemency's podcast, and she introduced me to him on that.
Yeah.
We cried.
Did you?
Mm.
I do remember you doing that podcast, yeah. Mm. Nicola Mailing, loving Fridays again, since you were both back with Making the Cut. Thanks for my life in a mixtape. Oh, great. Yeah, it's really good, wasn't it? It's making the housework a joy. I'm loving Stay Close on Netflix with James Nesbitt and Sarah Parrish. Well worth a watch. Happy weekend to you both. Look forward to next gorgeous outfit and hairdo on The Masked Singer.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a really nice one the other day.
Yeah, we did.
I got lots of very nice comments about that, and you looked really,
thanks.
Really
good. I was in my kind of wear the same. I'm inspired by Kate Middleton.
What, for re-wearing fashion?
Yeah.
It's a great idea. I've
always
thought it's...
Do you know what? I wore that dress for the second time. Mm. I wore it on the last series of The Masked Singer. Mm. I don't think anyone noticed.
No, well, I've always found that people always go, you can't wear the same thing twice.
Yeah.
I just think, really?
No one noticed.
I'm always wearing the same thing twice.
Mm.
These pants I've had on for a week.
Nice.
Hello, Making a Good Team. Still absolutely loving the podcast. And for what it's worth, they are perfect timings. We need at least 60 minutes of Michael and Davina. My recommendation, after listening to today's show and hearing Davina talk about cold cases, is
Outlier
on Walter Presents on Channel 4. Mm. Oh yeah, Walter Presents is good, isn't it? Really good Nordic story. Mm. Great scenery. Strong jumper game.
Yeah, great. Oh, yeah. I love a strong jumper game.
Cold case being tweezed apart. Davina, it's great.
Oh.
It's Nikki from Oatsy World.
That sounds amazing.
Great, because I've got to say, I'm struggling quite a bit to find something to really sink my teeth into. Do you know what I bought last night and started to watch?
What?
James Bond again. No Time to Die. I just really missed it. I really liked...
And
I'm gonna
I want
miss,
to watch Dune.
I'm going to miss Daniel Craig.
Oh my God, I can't bear... I can't...
So I just wanted to watch it again.
I feel really sorry for whoever is going to... Because whatever they do, that first film is going to be hard.
It is. Because he's left a banger at the end.
He's
it's
left
a, really,
a banger.
I've watched about an hour of it last night. I watched
so
20
good.
Minutes of it today. Eating
and
me
he
lunch.
Does the pouty thing.
Oh my God, he's got a great face, hasn't he? It's a kind of peculiar face, but it's great.
He's what they call in France, joli laid.
Which means?
Handsome ugly.
Yeah, okay.
Joli laid is like, it sounds evil, but it's trying to say is like...
Am I just joli?
You are just
joli. Or am I just lay?
No, you're just joli.
Okay.
But someone who's really different looking and you can't... Benedict Cumberbatch is joli laid. There's something appealing. I know you don't see it, but a lot of women find Benedict Cumberbatch very attractive. Or, I mean, Daniel Craig is just very good looking, but he's got this kind of, he's just got an interesting, he's different.
Do you know what he is? He's in perfect proportion, Daniel Craig.
His body.
Oh my God, his body is
his
amazing.
His body is off the charts.
I mean.
And for a man of his age, to get like that, you have no idea the work.
I have every idea, it's too hard. Good Lord. But yeah, he just looks fantastic in it. And the clothes are really nice in it. The cars are nice in it. There's
everything.
A nice bit of humour in it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to kind of watch Bond again. So I did that and I really, really enjoyed it. Final one. Wishing you a happy new year. Just love your first podcast of 2022. So funny. When Michael said, Alexa, call everyone in the house for tea. My Alexa replied. We should try that. Alexa. See if anybody's goes off right now. I would like to recommend cans of kombucha by Remedy. I thought Davina might be interested. It's a non-alcoholic, but it tastes like it. It is sugar-free and only 9 calories. But
it's
live
cultured.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
It's really good for your gut. I buy mine from Holiday Barrow.
Tesco's.
So my mate makes his own kombucha.
Yeah.
And
Who's that?
He gives it. Andy, me fitness mate Andy, used to be my fitness trainer. He's the guy who got me into the old cryptocurrency. Mm. Fitness trainers are all at it. But I went round to his house and he said, oh, I've made me own kombucha to get a glass of this, you know. So it's got a kind of peculiar taste to it.
It has. Well, anything live cultured is slightly... Well, it's meant to taste fermented.
But this one's... it is fermented. Mm. It didn't really taste of... It tasted kind of vinegary to me. But this... Kerry here is saying, I like the ginger and lemon one. I would definitely give that a try, actually.
I would as well. Let's get
some. It's good for you, right?
Oh, it's
very
really good for
you.
Anything with live cultures in. I mean, Megan Rossi's always talking about that. Mm.
Well, one other thing. I don't know if we mentioned this, but for Christmas, I bought you a pill box. Like with 31 days of the year on. I bought myself one as well. I really like it.
Mm.
So I put all my vitamins in it. So I take 5 vitamins a day. I've never taken vitamins before in my life. I did it because me and you did that millions and millions campaign. They gave us some vitamins. I thought, you know what? I'm going to give them a whirl. So I take a magnesium, vitamin B, vitamin D, calcium, and a vitamin, and a multivitamin.
That's all very, very good.
My wee is very yellow. I mean, it's pushing out some stuff here. So, but I mean, I feel, although I've got the January blues, I do generally feel pretty good. And I'm going to essentially put it down to
Vitamin D in particular now. Yeah. Everybody should be taking vitamin D all year round, really, but especially in the winter, because we are not getting any, and it's really important to our immune system and our health. But for me, and this isn't an ad, I'm not trying to advertise, what's quite funny about the pill box that you gave me, you painstakingly put vitamins in every single thing, but I don't know what the vitamins are. And they're not quite the same vitamins that I take.
Ah, okay.
So I'm painstakingly emptying them out and trying to sift through and see which ones I recognise.
Okay.
And then putting the ones that I do take back in.
Okay.
And separating the ones that I don't.
Why would you not take certain ones?
Because I don't feel like I need a multivitamin because I'm taking B, C and D and magnesium.
I was a bit like that, yeah. I thought I'm topping up too much on one of these.
So I felt like actually I think I've got enough.
The multivitamin is just the big one.
Yeah.
So you just take that out.
Oh, okay.
And the rest of them are
ones. But you don't have the C and D together. I like the chewable.
I do not want to chew vitamin.
But I do.
Okay.
So you've got C and D separately.
Yeah, I do.
And I like the chewy.
You like the chewy one. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So you painstakingly did 31
I did.
Little, which was the nicest thing, and I've only wanted to tell you about it. Now, because I felt too bad to tell you about
it.
I don't
mind, really. I mean, it was a gesture of
It's been very useful because I have refilled them. And I I've taken them away.
Yeah, me too.
Places. I take them out. The only thing is, I keep thinking, my God, where's
the 13th gone or whatever? Yeah, I've lost the 13th day. But every day, I just open the thing, pop it in, chuck up all in my mouth at once.
Oh,
a big glug of orange juice. Boom, they're done.
Boom.
So
you take magnesium in the day?
Yeah, well, I take everything at lunchtime, essentially.
Oh, I take magnesium at night.
I don't want to be doing different time slots for different vitamins. I want them all to go in at the same time.
Yeah,
otherwise, I'm going to forget.
I agree.
But I love the pill boxes.
Magnesium is very important as well.
When I bought pill boxes, I thought, God, this is what pensioners have, right, for all their pills.
Yeah, but do you know what? It's a really good idea.
It's really helping me remember.
Good.
Hey, this is a good one. This was a good one, wasn't it?
It's a lot. And yesterday you said to me,
I'm struggling.
I've got anything. I'm really struggling. We never struggle.
I know.
Before we'd even recommended the first thing, we'd recommended about 7 things.
Yes, I know. I think it's because I've watched so many things that I don't want to recommend.
Yes.
And that's a problem.
Well, I've watched 3 or 4. Yeah. I've started 3 or 4 things. Mm. And you know something is bad when you start something and you can't get past the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Me and Chester started watching a film. We stopped after 20 minutes.
You just think,
I'm not going to name and shame. Yeah. It's not in my nature.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen? People will message and say, tell us what
we'll
like.
We'll secretly tell you.
Yeah, we'll tell you via DM as well. Lots of love, everybody.
Lots of love.
A lovely weekend.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.